Hello, hello, and thank you for dancing with me. This is Dancing in the Discomfort Zone podcast. I'm your host, Anne Bonny, recently returned from Mount Kilimanjaro, where we took on a sort of a bucket list trip, as you may have known if you've been listening to a few of the episodes recently. And today I decided to bring on one of my fellow climbers, Aaron Kelly, who is a realtor in the Pennsylvania area, in the Baltimore, York, Pennsylvania area. And she came with us to Kilimanjaro and climbed as well. So I thought it would be really cool to bring her on, and not only for me, but for you all, to get her perspective on the discomfort of taking on this sort of monumental task that we took on of climbing Kilimanjaro, and also the monumental task she's undertaking right now of starting her own real estate business and leaving her job behind. So enjoy this episode, Dancing in the Discomfort Zone with Aaron Kelly and your host, Anne Bonny. Thanks for joining us. All right, we are Dancing in the Discomfort Zone today with Aaron Kelly, my co-climber for Kilimanjaro. I thought this was a great time to sort of get somebody else's perspective on the discomfort of that whole adventure. But Aaron's also starting a real, well, she's been in a real estate business, but she's jumping in with both feet. So we'll talk about the discomfort of that as well. Aaron, how are you today?
I'm good. Great to see you. I miss you. I spent 3 weeks with you and now I'm like having withdrawal from Ambon.
I know, right? 3 weeks sharing hotel rooms, sharing mountain challenges, sharing safari vehicles. It did get very intimate for a while.
Yes, it did. We know more about each other than we would care to share with anyone else, probably.
You won't be learning that on today's show.
But
I did want to talk about, you know, this Kilimanjaro climb was a big discomfort. And so I wanted to kind of chat with Aaron, have a fun conversation about somebody else's perspective on my experience. So enough about me. What do you think about me? No, get somebody else's perspective and then also talk about your business and starting that and how this is playing a role. So how did you end up in Africa climbing Kilimanjaro?
Well, funny story. So, I had started planning it for myself back in just prior to 2020, because I was turning 50 in 2020 and it was on my bucket list to climb Kilimanjaro for my 50th. And then, you know, the dreaded—
I never knew that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I had a spreadsheet and everything going of like options and the whole thing. And then, you know, the world imploded. So that kind of went by the wayside. And then, I guess it was April, May of last year, you posted that you were going to Africa and doing Kilimanjaro. And I was like, what? So I reached out to you, sent you a message, and I was like, hey, tell me more, because I'm really interested. If you have an extra spot, like, tell me what the details are. So then you responded immediately and said, oh my God, you have to go. Which I was thrilled with. So that's how it all started. And, you know, so from there, then we began our planning process. So it was, I just feel like it was meant to be. There we go.
Did you have any trepidation along the way of the planning phase?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, it was like, I was in my head a lot leading up to it because, one, you know, we were going over the holidays. So I was like leaving my entire family and partner for, you know, Christmas, New Year. So this was a first of not being home for the holidays. And, you know, you feel that guilt factor, but in general, I mean, obviously missing them and being away from that. And then on top of it, you know, I've had some issues with my knees over the past few years. And so for me, it was like, it was in my head constantly, like, oh my gosh, am I able to do this? Am I able to do this? Am I able to do this? And so I think, you know, there was a lot of things kind of flowing through my head the entire lead up to it. I was excited, like super excited. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like still that kind of discomfort that we're going to talk about today. And I mean, you're like doing something really big and it's, so there's a lot of doubts that start to creep in and unknowns. And I mean, you and I have known each other for a long time, but we certainly haven't spent 3 weeks together. And our other, you know, partner, who I've only met once. And I was like, so, you know, you don't know how all those dynamics are going to work either. So three women in a foreign country for 3 weeks, you know, there's a lot of things that could have gone sideways there, but luckily for us, it did not.
And were you getting any external messages of doubt? I mean, you know, we all have that sort of internal doubt, but were you getting any external doubt messages?
No, actually. And that was the really cool part, was that everyone that I talked to, and my family specifically from day one, was 1,000% supportive. And like, yes, you need to do this. And absolutely, you're going to do this. And every one of my friends and contacts outside of that were all like, there was never any hesitation. None of them were like, oh my gosh, what about your knees? Are you going to be okay? You know, it was like, no one ever said that. No one ever thought for one second that it would not be possible for us to summit, for me specifically. Yeah. So
have you done hard physical things before that they're like, oh yeah, of course you're doing that? Because that's what my friends all say. Oh yeah, of course you're doing that, Anne. Like, we would never do that, but...
Yeah. Like, yes. So I've done marathons in the past. I was a competitive bodybuilder for quite a few years, have climbed, you know, some significant mountains. I mean, I wouldn't say nothing that compares to Kilimanjaro, but still a lot of big hiking, a lot of backpacking, stuff like that. So it wasn't shocking to anyone, like, oh my gosh, this is like outside of your world. I mean, so yes, maybe that was part of it too, that there was no kind of surprise, I guess, around like, oh, Aaron wants to do this. You know, it was like, oh, cool. Yeah, of course you do. So that was cool. It was good. And sometimes you don't see that about yourself. You forget, you know, what you've done and kind of all of the parts of your life that have kind of brought you here. And you're like, yeah, why am I doubting myself? Like, that's just ridiculous.
Well, so, and that's such an important message for all of us all the time, because imposter syndrome and, you know, the fear of failure pops into our minds no matter what we're doing, and reminding ourselves, hey, wait a minute, I've done hard things before. Look at, you know, and making a list of all those things that you've done to kind of say, yeah, sure, this might not go well, but historically it shows that it probably will.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. We have short memories sometimes.
Exactly. For the good stuff. The bad stuff we remember a long time.
Yeah, exactly. So wow, really screwed that up.
Yeah, right. So tell me about the actual climb, your experience with the actual 5 days that we were on the mountain.
Yeah, I think so the first 2 days, you know, and I think it was important. Well, one of the cool things, I think the way that we approached it as a team was, this is all we have to do each day, is just get up, complete this portion of the day, which is climbing X amount of miles, kilometers, which was never accurate, by the way. Getting up and just knowing that that's all we had to do was 6-7 hours, whatever the length of time was, that's all we had to do for that day. So I think mentally kind of prepping for that was important and helped to kind of mentally, I think, prepare for what was ahead. As far as physically, the first couple of days I thought were okay. And I mean, it was a lot of up, like, you know, the first day, as we said, was like Stairmaster on steroids, you know, and we felt that in the first day, I think. And then the second day, you know, it's just time, you know, it's just like, it's so much amount of time on your feet with a backpack on and just, you know, I think that was the most challenging. But then once we get to day three, you know, once we hit that third camp and then we do a quick turnaround to prepare for summit, like that was definitely the most challenging, you know. So we're hiking in the dark, you know, from 11 p.m. until 7 in the morning just to get to the first peak. And so for me, that became challenging. I really lost my appetite probably about by day, heading into day two. So that was really challenging for me to eat.
A common altitude thing, yeah, which we knew was coming, but when it hits, you're like, oh crap, I need some fuel.
Yeah. So like trying to force it down was challenging, force any sort of food down, you know, and coming from a fitness background, knowing how important it is to like fuel your body and be prepared for like physically what's ahead of you, I think also kind of mentally plays into your mindset a little bit. But, you know, halfway up on that third day of the summit ascent, I physically was not feeling well.
Infamous cave incident.
Yes. The infamous cave incident. It was the ultimate puke and rally session. So that had to happen. And then I felt better. And then we just kept going, you know?
Well, so you glazed right over that. But so this is, you know, probably 2 o'clock in the morning, pitch dark. We've already been hiking for 3 hours. We stop at this cave and we've been told about this cave. And somebody that had done it before said, whatever you do, you're going to be exhausted. You're tired. You're, you know, you can't breathe really well. Don't lay down in the cave. Like, we kept saying this the whole time. So we get to this infamous cave and I'm doing my thing. You know, I went behind a rock and went to the bathroom and was having a snack. And all of a sudden next to me, I hear Aaron throwing up. And I'm like, what? And I turn around. And then she kind of stands up, takes a drink of water, and is like, all right, let's go. And we kept going. I mean, she talks about puke and rally. She got about 8,000 badass points from all of us for picking it back up. And like, because we had to hike for another 5 to 6 hours after that.
Yeah, easily.
Just to get to the top. Let's not even talk about the way down.
Yeah, mention the way down. So yeah, so that was definitely a kind of physical challenge to get over. And, but you know, I mean, what are you going to do? Like, you can't turn around. It's not like, oh, I'm throwing up, I guess I have to turn around and go back. Like, that's not an option. I mean, so you have to just kind of keep pushing forward. I knew I wasn't going to die. I was like, I feel okay. Otherwise I can breathe fine. And that was kind of like my personal check the whole way up, was as long as I can continue to breathe comfortably and take like 10 deep breaths and keep moving my feet, I'm fine. Keep going. So it's kind of like one step in front of the other. And that's, you know, I kind of think it's like a metaphor for life, right? And you can't see the summit when you're there. It's pitch black. So you really don't know where you're going. You don't know what's ahead of you. You have no idea. You can't see anything. All I can see was the person in front of me, my feet and the headlamp. And Anne was staring at my butt the whole time because she was behind me.
About 2 hours in, I was like, oh, Aaron, you've got a nice design on the butt pocket of your pants. Because that's all I had to look at.
Yeah, you counted the number of stitches on the back pockets of my pants.
There were 497. Right, well, exactly. And you bring up a really interesting point when we're going through discomfort. You said you had a checklist. I had a checklist. Can I breathe? Can my legs still move? If so, this discomfort is okay. And I think when we're going through any discomfort in life, that's a kind of having that little checkpoint to be able to say, okay, I'm going to continue going through this discomfort. This is going to suck for a while and I'm okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Love it.
You know, it's not forever. You know, I mean, that's the thing. Pain and discomfort are short term. You're not going to be in pain and discomfort forever. There are going to be periods where it sucks. Absolutely sucks. And you have to push through that because, you know, eventually it's going to end. It's not going to be a lifelong feeling, hopefully, you know, I mean, that you're experiencing at that time. So that was kind of the mental game, you know, kind of pushing through that and getting up. But I definitely felt terrible. I mean, by the time we got to that first summit, I was like, I literally think I was falling asleep while I was sitting there. I was just like, okay, we took a break. And I was just like, just close my eyes, just get like some energy back. You know, I'd just be like, okay, I think I'm falling asleep right now. I was like, wait, wake up. So, so it was, you know, like moment by moment of kind of pushing through that. And then from that point to the summit, you know, it was another 2 hours. And, you know, once we got there, it was just like, of course, you're filled with this adrenaline rush. It's absolutely just not like nothing you've ever seen before.
And that last 2 hours, we could see the peak as well. It was bright out by that point. Yeah. We could look around, we could see the glacier. It was beautiful. And you could see where we were going, which for me, it made a massive difference.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. When you can see that end point, it's like, okay, we got this now. Like, this is a no-brainer. And it's interesting to think that anyone would get to that Gilman's Point and not go to the summit, because you can see it, like it's right there. Mm-hmm. But we talked to several people that's as far as they went. And I mean, they granted, if you have a lot of like a physical issue that you physically can't do it, that's a different story, right? But for most people, I think it's like, wow, like you're right there. And I think sometimes that happens in life too, right? Like we stop short of actually getting to the summit of whatever that goal or whatever's objective is in front of us, because either it got too hard, it got really uncomfortable, and it's like, maybe I'll just stop here and turn around. Mm-hmm. And that's, we kind of do ourselves a disservice by doing that, because it's really probably so close of kind of that breakthrough or that push through that we just stop a little bit too soon.
Well, so, and that's that paradox of knowing, like, when do I call it quit? Because sometimes calling it quits is the right move. And, you know, saying, you know what, this is too much. I'm good, like, good to go. But sometimes, again, you fall short. And that's just kind of one of those judgment calls along the way. Yeah. But understandably, that point from where we started out to Gilman Point, that first peak, was the hardest part. The rest wasn't that hard, though I can see how somebody would be like, yeah, I ain't doing that again. So I'm good. I'm done. I'm out.
Yes. Yeah. The switchback stair climb to Gilman's Point was, yeah. And that's what we've heard, right? That's why they take you up in the dark. They tell you it's because they want you to be there for sunrise. They just don't want you to see where you're actually going. That's a big lie. So that's, I think that's part of the reason why we did it at night. But yeah, that was definitely the hardest point. And then the summit was just like amazing. I mean, again, you're filled with that adrenaline and, you know, but I think with any sort of climb like this, you do always have to think about, yeah, we still have to come down. And that can be as challenging in some ways as the ascent, because one, you're like, all that adrenaline rush is kind of expelled once you get to the summit. And then you're like, oh my gosh, like I've got to go back down. And so once we turned around and started heading back, the interesting thing was, you know, it had gotten really sunny and it was beautiful and it was warm. Then all the clouds came in and like trapped the heat underneath. And so all of that, well, we forgot to mention that the entire time we were hiking from 11 to 7 a.m., it was snowing. So the entire time. And so then all that snow started melting. And so as we started to descend, then it turned into a ski slope. And so, you know, we're like arm in arm with guides kind of navigating the climb down. And then
trying not to roll all the way down.
It was like, you know, multiple times as we're going down. And then once we hit that one part, which is like not as kind of the steep rocky part, it's more of kind of more of a steep incline. We were literally skiing in our hiking boots down the mountain because it was just slushy, gravelly. And so that, as much as you kind of think, oh yeah, coming down is going to be, you know, so much easier than going up, it was not. It was like, it almost felt like I exerted more energy trying not to kill myself on the way down as well, more so than on the way up. So I was like, wow, this is just not getting any easier. So, but then we get to the bottom. What was that? We got down to the bottom at like 1:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, 1:30 or 2. Yep.
Yeah. So now we've been going from 11 p.m. the night before all the way through to 1:30 in the afternoon the next day. And then that was the actually worst part of my life.
This is where things got interesting for Erin.
Yeah, really bad. So, you know, you've completed the what you think is the hardest part. We're back at 1:30 and I feel like I have the worst hangover of my entire life. Like, I came back, I was sick again when we got back to our camp. And then I was like, when you just feel like all I need to do is just sleep for like the next 12 hours and I'll feel better. But our guide comes in and says, okay, it's 1:30. First, he says you have 30 minutes. Yes. I think I had a complete and total breakdown. Well, no, Anne knows that I did.
You were like, nope.
I was like, that is not an option. Absolutely not an option. Like, I was just like, my body physically at that point was like, okay, now I know my limitations. Like, this cannot happen in 30 minutes, because basically we had to turn around and then hike down to the next camp, which, again, this conversion part got a little messy here of actually how far it was, but let's just say it took us, how long was it? 7 miles maybe?
Yeah, I think it was 7 miles.
Yeah.
Because it took us like 3.5 hours and we weren't going that slow.
No. So meanwhile, it was 30 minutes turnaround time. I said, absolutely not. I was having a full-on meltdown while Anne and Leanne looked on in horror at my behavior. And then... So we negotiated with our guide and he said, okay, you can have 2 hours. So at 3:30, we're going to take off. Okay, fine. So basically the three of us just climb into our sleeping bags. And it's just like, once my body hit that bed, I was like, I don't know if it can move again. So as it's getting closer to the 3:30 mark, I'm still laying there at like 3:15. And Anne's like, I'm like, oh my God, like I'm going to die. Like I was like really like in a really bad place. This is probably the worst spot of the entire experience for me.
And Leanne looks at me because we're getting ready. And she kind of mouths, what do we do about Aaron? As she's pointing, hiding the point with her hand. And I kind of shrug. Go ahead.
And so Anne says, okay, Aaron, this is a suck it up moment. I was like, okay, you're right. Okay.
I did say a phrase of empathy, and I remember exactly what I said because I thought about it for a long time because you're a strong woman and you could probably knock me out. So I said, I completely appreciate where you are right now. And
and it's a suck it up moment. And you know what? When you're in that sort of situation, you need someone to tell you that sometimes. Like, look, you just need to suck it up and get your ass up, pack up your stuff, and let's just get on with it. So we did. I did. And then we had it out. And then we had to do that last stretch until 7 p.m. at night. And I think all of us were just, the three of us had just like absolutely expelled any ounce of energy we had left in our bodies. And so we got to our camp. We literally, no food, no nothing, climbed into our sleeping bags and boom, lights out. And I think that 12 hours of sleep was the best sleep I've ever had in my life.
Ever.
Yeah. And then we woke up and we felt great the next day, I feel like. I mean, we felt pretty good to go to the next track, part of the track. Mm-hmm. So then it was another day down. And so then you have to, basically what we did in the first 2 days, we had to cover in one day. And that last day, you know, descending down. And so our guide knew that I did have some issues with my knees. And so like we got down to the next initial spot, the next camp. And then we had one more trek to go to get down to the final gate, which probably was another, I don't know what, 4 hours.
Yeah. 6 or 7 miles. Yeah.
Something like that. And, so our guide was like, hey, you know, if I know your knees are really starting to bother you, he's like, if, you know, for this very last part of it, he said, we could actually have a truck come get you guys and take you down for the last little bit of it. And at first I was just like, I don't know, that feels like maybe we're ending it too soon. Like we need to like actually physically go down to the very bottom. But then I was like, we already did like the absolute hardest part of this entire thing. And so I checked with our team and I was like, what do you guys think? And all of us were like, oh, hell yes.
I said, it will not minimize my experience if we take a truck for the last 3 miles.
Yeah, no. So that's what we did. And it was fantastic because we got down earlier and we were able to just kind of, I think, really enjoy the experience more at the end. So it was definitely, when people ask me, you know, what was my experience like, you know, I'm like, it definitely was probably the hardest thing I've done physically and mentally, you know, as far as really kind of pushing myself to do something that was really uncomfortable. And, but it showed like, you know, when I think that something is hard, like it's really not that hard. You know, I mean, when you kind of put it in perspective of what we accomplished in that 5-day period, you know, so it's like, yeah, it's really not that hard. So I think it helped to give perspective. It also helped, I mean, for me, it kind of really opened my eyes to, wow, I can really still push my body, you know, to the point of like doing some pretty big stuff. But also mentally, you know, what I can handle and kind of push through as well, even when I felt as bad as I did and kind of all the things, and still, you know, we were able to complete it, you know? So that was, there was a lot of life lessons in there as well, I guess to say, even at the old age of 52.
Well, do you think your threshold of what's quote unquote hard and what's uncomfortable has kind of shifted because of that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes I think we get into more of comfort zones of what we've been doing for a period of time. And then when we're trying to make changes or trying to do things differently, because of that comfort zone, it feels hard. And it's like, okay, really, you know, when you kind of dig into it, it's really not that hard. And we just tend to put up, I think, our own barriers of, or kind of maybe our barometer of what we think is hard, you know? And then when you do something like this, you're like, nah, it's really not that hard. Yeah. So it definitely has shifted, you know, the threshold and the thinking of what is really challenging. And and not to diminish, you know, I mean, I think all things and many things in life are challenging or hard in different ways, you know, and how we perceive those. But I know for myself, some of the things that I was feeling like were difficult for me to kind of push through to kind of get the sort of results that I want to see as I'm moving into starting my own business and all these things, it's really not that hard. You know what I mean? So it's challenging, yes, but it's not that hard. You know what I mean? So you just gotta push through.
Yeah. You just gotta keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. So talk to me about this. So you have been playing is the wrong word, but you've been dabbling in the real estate world for a couple years, but recently left your fitness job, which you've been in the industry for a long time, and are just starting this whole new business and putting all your chips in. And so talk to me about sort of where you were with your business. And I don't mean like, you know, I was making $10 a day, you know, but more like emotionally and sort of courage wise before, and now that you've officially hit the ground running.
Yeah. So I have worked in the fitness industry for a long time. It's like 30 plus years now. You know what I mean? So it's a long time. It's kind of like, it's what I know, you know, and I know it really well. And I've pretty
and
well.
And it's what you're known for in your network.
Correct. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I got my real estate license about 7-8 years ago, and it has always been an interest of mine, and kind of like a second passion to fitness. And I always thought, well, this is kind of like something I'd like to get into. I got my license and I was like, maybe I can start kind of doing this as a little bit of a side hustle sort of thing. But with my previous roles, I just never had the time. You know, it was like, it was always full on sort of, you know, higher level executive positions where it's like, you know, you feel like you're at meetings ad nauseum and your day is just, there's no time for anything else, period. So I never really could put any sort of effort into it, but I kept my license active for this entire time, you know, and it's money and it's time and it's continuing education and all the things that you have to do to keep it active. But it was something that I just knew in the back of my mind that eventually I'm going to get there. It's just something that I want to keep going and be prepared for when I'm ready to do it. So I guess about a year and a half ago, then I thought, okay, now is some time where I have some additional bandwidth to be able to start to kind of dig in a little bit more into this. Prior to that, I bought and sold my own homes. But at this point I was like, okay, now let's start to try to get some understanding about what's possible here. I joined a mastermind group where, you know, because I had the basic fundamentals of real estate by getting my license, kind of going through the courses and stuff, but it still doesn't teach you, you know, I mean, how to really establish a successful real estate business. And, you know, I always am one to promote having coaches, mentors that just help you to go faster. Because trying to figure it out on your own becomes a big waste of time. You know, there's plenty of people that have done it before you that can tell you, you know, how to go as quickly as possible to get the best results. So that was the first thing I did. And then, you know, I was still working my full-time job at that stage as well. And at that point it was kind of hard because it's just like, I was really kind of on that line of, fitness is what I know. This is my previous career. What I've done my whole career. And I am established here. This is what people know me for, you know, are people going to know me and respect me in real estate, you know what I mean, sort of thing. So that was like a big, and also, you know, when you're going from being in positions where you have consistent income, you know, where you have that safety net of security. That for me was the hardest part. Cause I was just like, from going from that to really, really betting on myself, you know, 100%, I think is the scariest thing to do. You know, for anyone that's looking to start any business of their own, that's the scariest part, because it's kind of like this kind of do or die sort of moment, right? And so it was at that point that I was like, okay, you know, so I kept trying to kind of do grow this. Well, I'm still trying to do this. Oh, you can't see my hands because we're just talking. but you get the idea of like, you know, you're kind of trying to build a bridge, you know, so it feels like an easier jump, but that's really challenging to do. And it's really, anyone who's considering that, it becomes very difficult. You know, you kind of have to go all in. You have to, you know, and I still have some part-time contractual things that I'm doing on the side to kind of supplement as I grow my real estate business. But for the most part, you know, this is where my focus is 100% now. So it was, you just have to do it. You got to go all in, and it's scary, very scary. And financially it's like, yikes, you know, so you have to have a plan. I mean, for sure, you can't just go into it without a plan. And, but yeah, so that's where I am now, and it's still scary, but starting. So here we go.
Well, 7.5 years into being an entrepreneur myself, I will tell you, it's still scary. You know, there's always, you know, you're working for yourself now. And yeah, it's, well, and I find that as one of the things that continues to build that, you know, that discomfort muscle is, and you nailed it, being able to trust yourself and say, I believe in what I got. I believe in what I'm delivering. It feels right. Let's go.
Yeah. And I think if it's, and depending on the transition that you're making, is that you also have to recognize there are so many transferable skills, you know, I mean, and it's so much of what I learned in the fitness business world. I mean, so much of it is obviously transferable into building your own business and real estate specifically, you know what I mean? So it's, sometimes also we forget, right? Kind of like what we talked about before, you forget the things that you've done,
right?
And you forget the things that you've accomplished. And, you know, and I think the only person that doubted me making this transition has been myself. Kind of going back to the Kilimanjaro example, there wasn't anyone in my immediate circle or anyone outside of that. And not that they would tell me like, do you think this is a good idea? I mean, but there really hasn't been anyone that is closest to me that has said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. Like, so all of them have been, yes, absolutely, you should do this. There's no reason. We believe in you 100%. The only person that didn't believe in me or trust it was myself. You know? So that's a hard thing to get over, because there's a lot of stories that kind of play into our heads around what we think we're capable of, what sort of things we can achieve and accomplish. And we're usually the ones that just get in our own way. It's not other people. It's not other things. It's ourselves. So you have to kind of push through that kind of mental blocks. Like we talked about, you got to push through, you have to sit in that discomfort. You have to, you know, get really comfortable being uncomfortable, as they say, as you go through it. And, but it'll be worth it at the end. I know it will be. Well, I won't sing my song on the podcast, but we'll save that for another time.
The house pants song. I'm putting on my house pants. Oh, this is Erin's next career, by the way. She's going to be a rock star.
Exactly.
Little EK money. We've established this whole thing. See, this is the thing about, you know, 5 days on a mountain is you have plenty of time to make up the whole future.
Exactly.
So last question for you, and this is kind of tying exactly what you just said together, but you know, you've got a long mountain to climb as you build this real estate business into something that's going to, you know, create a legacy and create, you know, all the things that you want to create with this, like a living and a roof over your head.
That too.
In those moments where you have that doubt, what are you going to do to build your courage, to build your confidence, or just get over that hump of that moment of doubt and fear and like, holy crap, maybe I'll just go get a job?
Yeah, I think it's kind of relates back to the Kilimanjaro experience, right? It's like one foot in front of the other. Like you have to keep moving forward. You have to keep putting action steps in place every day that move yourself and your business forward, even if it's the smallest things that, because I think a lot of us at times will get in that moment where it's just like, it's paralysis by analysis, or we're distracted. We allow ourselves to get distracted by any numerous things that are like not, you know, kind of distracting us from doing what we need to do right now to kind of move things forward. So for me, that's kind of what I've been trying to focus on, is just every day, what am I going to do today that moves my business forward? And so I think as long as I feel like, okay, I'm just, it's like you're planting the seeds. And then eventually, you know, those seeds will hopefully, you know, grow into something pretty awesome. So it doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't miraculously say, oh yeah, I want to build this amazing business. And it just happens on its own. Like that doesn't happen. And so it does take a lot of work, a lot of effort and consistency. You know, that's kind of my focus too, going forward with this, is that it really requires consistency every single day, you know, to get the results that I'm shooting for.
Well, and I think that's such an important message. And this is, you know, it is, when we get into action, we feel like we're more of an actor. There's things we can do. We're not just a victim of the terror that's happening in our minds. We get into action, and you're saying consistent action is saying, okay, what can I do today? I am terrified. I don't have enough money in my bank account right now, but what can I do today to plant a seed? And having those, you know, again, probably from your mastermind group, from your support crew. Now I know, what are those consistent things I do to eventually get to where I want to get? And so saying, okay, cool. What do I do today? What are my 10 steps that I can just do today? And then we'll see again tomorrow whether I still want to quit.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's just, I think it's just time, and it's consistency, you know, of those efforts for sure.
Love it.
But yeah.
Other than starting your own business, any other personal challenges that you're kind of looking at right now?
That's, you know, a lot of people ask me, like, what's next? What are you going to do now that you've done Kilimanjaro? And I'm like, I really haven't thought through that yet. As far as like, I kind of want to just continue to sit in that experience for a while, because I think it's easy to sometimes when you've done something like that, you're back into real world and it's like, oh my gosh, I just did that like 2-3 weeks ago. And now I'm back into like, you know, whatever the day-to-day sort of activities are. And it's like, wow. So yeah, I'm not really sure. You know, my biggest objective right now is really just to get my business growing as quickly as possible. But as far as like outside of that, I don't know, we're talking about maybe going to Nepal next year and kind of doing like a, not an Everest trek, but like a track to base camp, which would be kind of a similar track that takes you to base camp, and be able to see Everest like in front of you, which would be pretty awesome.
Is that you and Andrea are thinking of that?
Yes. And with our friends, Matt and Lucy. So Lucy's dad has, you know, has summited Everest and has a very long history of taking groups there and the whole thing. So it would be one of those, another cool experience of doing it with people that, you know well, and that are you feel safe kind of going with someone who knows what they're doing, you know, and kind of that whole experience. So that may be the next one. I don't know. We'll see.
So we'll just live in this one. It literally, I'm looking at this, it's January 18th that we are recording this. It was literally 3 weeks ago today, Wednesday. And it's, let's see, 12:44. That means it's 9 o'clock at night. It's 8:45 at night in Tanzania. So we were sleeping, getting ready to wake up in an hour and a half to go and climb a mountain 3 weeks ago today.
I know. It's crazy to think it was not that long ago. It was amazing. I mean, the whole trip was just an incredible experience. And for anyone that hasn't been to Africa yet, I know you've been multiple times, but it was just such, in so many ways, just such a, just an amazing experience. People, the safari experience, just all the things, you know, it's just like, it was probably one of the great, like, trip of a lifetime. Absolutely. So thank you for that, because if you hadn't posted that, and I would have never experienced that with you. So thank you for that.
Really, yeah, great. It was an amazing trip. And when people are like, how's the trip? I'm like, it was amazing. We had all the typical challenges that you have with international travel, and everything that needed to fall into place fell into place perfectly.
Yes, it did. Yeah. We didn't talk about all those challenges in the beginning, but and once we got through that, it was,
you know. Erin spent 3 days on safari in the same clothes because her luggage didn't get there.
that was fun. That was the first challenge. And then once we got to Kilimanjaro, I was like, oh yeah, this is nothing. You know?
This is going as we expected it.
That's no problem. Yeah, I was living on one outfit and t-shirts from the gift shop. It was awesome.
Good thing the three of us were all the same size. We were like, you want to borrow my pants? You want to borrow my shirt?
Exactly. Thank God for that.
Good luck with the business. If you're in the Baltimore, York, Pennsylvania, is it York, Pennsylvania area?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you want to buy a house, Erin Kelly, with Monument Sotheby's?
Yeah.
Selling homes and changing lives.
Exactly.
That could be your new motto.
Selling homes and changing lives. I like it.
Thank you for joining us on Dancing in the Discomfort Zone for another view of the Kilimanjaro experience. I will have Leanne, my third co-climber, on in a couple weeks. But until then, I hope you challenge yourself and remember, and when you're in that discomfort place, have that little checklist, you know? Am I okay? Can I keep going a little bit longer? Is there another thing I can do? And keep moving. Unless you get through your checklist and you're like, this is time to call it quits. So, but good luck with that. Really do. Don't stop because it's uncomfortable. Stop because it's time to stop. So thank you so much for joining us today. We are going to be dancing next week with another great episode of Discomfort Boosting Action. Thanks for trusting me with your time. And let me know if there's any topics that make you uncomfortable that you'd like to learn a little bit more about, because I'd love to bring on an expert to help us through that. We've got some money stuff coming up. We've got some more adventure stuff coming up. We've got some really fun episodes coming up for you. So make sure you subscribe, and I'll talk to you next week.